Good morning. Oh, it's so good to be in a room with you. I'm actually looking at people right now, not just staring into the camera. It's good to have you at home as well. COVID, what a shocker. I think it's been almost seven months since we've been back in the hall for church. Who's had a COVID test? Yeah, wow, more than about half the room. Yeah, I had mine yesterday. I'm self-isolating with you right now. That was a lie. I haven't. I have had one though. Yep, as Lynn has already prayed, thank God for leadership around our country and where we're at the moment. But I'm so thankful to see you right now here. What an amazing group of leaders we have around church. The rooms over there are full with kids. Kids Church is running right now. Our Welcome Connect team doing everything they've done to keep us safe. The tech team. Jordan, tech team are amazing. We're doing church right now live, and it's going live streamed into church houses as well. That's been quite amazing. It's going to be a hard few months going forward. For those of you at home, some of us are struggling with not hugging each other, not being able to sit near each other, being a bit separate from each other. We weren't able to sing out live. I almost started, Jordan. I went, no, I'm not allowed to. But God's still in control, and we're here. And a huge thank you to everyone that has worked hard to make this happen. And brothers and sisters, keep going. We're Jesus' bride. We are the hope of the world. Yes, it's hard and it will continue to be hard, but we need to meet together, both for your faith and my faith, and the faith of each other and the mission of the gospel as well. So I'm going to pray. Just before I do, one of the things we will do a little different with this is there will be a Q&A. After the sermon, but you need to text your questions in. There will be a number that will go up and a number that will go up at home as well to text your questions in. There'll be a Q&A after the sermon. Let me pray again. Oh, Father, we thank you that no matter what is going on in this world, you are always on your throne. You're in control. You're God Almighty. And so we pray that as we come under your word now, we will hear you speak. Holy Spirit, come, change our hearts, call us again to faith and obedience for the glory of our great God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our yard, Nicole is the boss and I am her labourer. Nicole is the one who makes the decisions about what gets planted where, and I dig the holes and carry the dirt. Have a look at some of Nicole's handiwork. Quite impressive, isn't it? That garden looks great. Get the dirt right, the sunlight right, the watering right, the fertilizing right, and flowers blossom, and fruit and veg grows. Fruitfulness is the result of persistent sowing. Now, if Nicole stopped watering, stopped fertilizing, stopped weeding, what would happen? Plants would die and the weeds would take over. Fruitfulness is the result of persistent sowing. Brothers and sisters, God expects Christianity to be fruitful. Becoming a Christian is not the finishing line. Becoming a Christian is the starting line. That is why one of our four church values is grow. God expects his children to grow. This week, as Chris has already told us, we begin our sermon series and point group series in a New Testament book called Colossians. Now, I'm excited for the series, which I know doesn't say much. I'm always excited to be in God's Word with you, but I'm excited to be in Colossians. And I'm praying that God will use this series to increase our fruitfulness. The world is full of so much bad news at the moment. Social media platforms have become ranting, venting, toxic platforms. There's so much bad news. There's so much whinging. There's so much flexing. There's so much fear. But Colossians is going to remind us that our faith is in the King of Kings. We are powered by the Holy Spirit to love God's people. And no matter what's going on in the world or in our lives, our hope is in God Almighty. I'm pumped for the Colossians series. Now, we know from the first verse in Colossians that Paul originally wrote the letter to the Colossians, to a place at Colossae. And if you have a look on the map, you'll see the little boot of Italy there on the right. Is it up there? I've seen your... Yep, good. The boot of Italy. And then you come across the Mediterranean Sea and come underneath what's modern-day Greece. And then you pop up and hit the shoreline of modern-day Turkey and you see Ephesus there. And you go a little bit inland to Colossae. Now, back in the day, that was a trade route from Ephesus through to Colossae. So the Colossians were cosmopolitan. Lots of trade going through the city, religion passing through the city, philosophy passing through the city. And what you may not know about Colossians is that Paul did not plant the church. So he wrote this letter to a new church, to a new bunch of Christians. Why? Well, for the same reason he wrote all the other letters. Becoming a Christian is not the finish line. Becoming a Christian is the starting line. Paul wrote letters because God expects his children to grow, to be fruitful. And fruitfulness is the result of persistent sowing. Now, today we're only looking at the first 14 verses, and here's how we'll tackle them. Firstly, we're going to look at Paul's thankfulness. Then we're going to look at Paul's ask. Paul asked God to bless the Colossians in a certain way. And then we're going to look at a big Bible word, redemption. Thankfulness, ask, redemption. You got your Bible? Open it up. Have a look at verse 3 with me. If you brought a pen, I'm actually going to get you to underline some words as well. If you've got your app, I guess you can highlight these words. Colossians 1, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So Paul's opening prayer is thankfulness. Since we heard of your faith, underline faith, in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, underline love, because of the hope, underline hope, laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. So Epaphras, we'll learn later in chapter 4, was from Colossae. So he was a Colossian, and he must have heard the gospel somewhere, and he brought it back, and the church started. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so here's this new church, new Christians. There's new faith. And note that Paul launched off with thankfulness. Paul didn't launch off with the 10 steps of discipleship. Paul didn't launch off with correction. Paul didn't launch off with counseling. Paul launched off with thankfulness. You see, while new faith is fragile faith, new faith is also exciting. Jesus told us that whenever somebody gets saved, a party starts up in heaven. But notice that Paul's thankfulness was specific. I'll try and stop that bumping. It was a thankfulness for the Colossians' faith, for the Colossians' love, for the Colossians' hope. But note it was even more specific again. It was for the Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus. It was for the Colossians' love of the saints, which is another way of saying God's people. It was for the Colossians' hope that is laid up in heaven. But note that Paul's thankfulness was even more specific again. It was for faith in Christ Jesus, for love of God's people, for the hope laid up in heaven, which the Colossians heard in the word of truth, the gospel. The Colossians' faith, love, and hope was biblical faith, love, and hope. False teachers love to come along into the church and start talking about Jesus and love. It's all about Jesus and love. And when we first hear that, we go, I want to say amen to that. And then we listen a little more and realize that their Jesus is a different Jesus. That some of the things they love are things that Jesus hates. And when it comes to hope, we can all get hope sort of wrong in one of either two ways. That firstly, we can either so focus on the future, our future hope, that we forget that our Christian hope is supposed to affect our lives now. I had to rebuke a young Christian man for his sexual sin. And the result was he told me, don't talk to him. He's a saint, not a sinner. Now, yes, our hope is that when God saves us, we become saints. We're washed clean. But no, our hope doesn't mean that our sinful lives don't matter anymore. Our hope must affect our behavior now. And the other effect we can, the other mistake we can make with hope is the opposite. We so focus on hope now that we become disillusioned and disappointed when the storms of life hit. We forget that God's promise of no more tears is for when Christ returns. But God's promise now is that he will walk us through the valley of the shadow of death. Not over, not under, not around, but through. Brothers and sisters, faith, love, and hope. They're three Christian virtues. They're known as the great Christian virtues. And Satan loves to offer up counterfeits. That's why we keep taking everything back to the scriptures. Our faith is in Jesus. Not any Jesus, the Jesus of the scriptures. And our love is scriptural love. We love what God loves and we hate what God hates. And our hope is scriptural hope as well. It's not wishy-washy. And it's not all future. And it's not all now. It's biblical hope. It's a hope that is now, but not yet. We're waiting for more. Our faith, love, and hope is grounded in the word of truth. And just before we move on from Paul's thanks to Paul's ask, have another look at verse 5 again, halfway through the verse. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Becoming a Christian is not the finish line. Becoming a Christian is the starting line. God expects fruit, lots and lots of fruit. That's just my morning tea. Yeah. Or at least Jordan said on the way in, you're feeling hungry, are you? God expects fruit and increase from his children. And let that excite you. Because note, It's God who does all the heavy lifting. It's His word of truth and His gospel that is bearing fruit and increasing and growing. And so whenever you see faith, love, and hope, be thankful because it's God at work. And whenever God is at work, it's exciting. Paul's thankfulness for these new Christians and this new church. Paul moved from thanks and then he moved on to an ask. Have a look at verse 9 with me. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. His will. Does that take you back to earlier in the year, which feels like a decade ago, when we were working through Romans, you remember? Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by tall blokes. No. Do not be conformed. Oh, I'm not allowed to move. I've got to stand. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Chris. All right. Now, maybe some apologies to anyone at home. Hopefully now I'll start the sermon again. No, we'll keep going. And I'm not sure what it's been like for you at home, but our tech team is awesome. I still think it's amazing. We're doing this live and at home as well. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is God's will, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Too often, Christians get hung up on the will of God. Who should I marry? Where should I live? What job should I do? The Bible talks very differently about the will of God. The will of God is glorify God. Love God. Love your neighbor. Be holy as God is holy. Do what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's the way that Paul went on to ask for these Colossians. Have a look at verse 10. So Paul's asking God for something, that they'll have God's wisdom so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. How does that match up with your prayer life? Are your prayers for yourself and for your point group filled with prayers about pleasing God or pleasing self? And yes, of course, we need to be asking God for our daily needs. But our big prayer life, our overarching prayer life should be that we are pleasing God more so than being comfortable ourselves. So, what does it look like to please God? What does it look like to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord and pleasing to God? Well, Paul went on to ask God for specific areas. And as I read, I'm going to get you to underline again. Pick it up, verse 10 again. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so underline bearing fruit along with increasing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Underline being strengthened. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. Underline giving thanks. Now, didn't Paul already thank God for the Colossians who were bearing fruit and increasing? Yes, he did. Then he went on to ask for more. Why? Because starter faith is just that. It's starter faith. Paul then prayed that they would continue to grow, continue to be fruitful. Jesus told a parable, didn't he, about a sower and four different types of soil. Some of the seed fell on the footpath, and that seed was immediately eaten by birds. Some of the seed from the sower landed in rocky soil. Those plants grew immediately, but then withered because they had no root. Some of the seed fell in thorny soil. Those plants grew as well, but they were soon choked out by the weeds. But then some seed fell on good soil, and those plants grew and produced grain, much, much grain. The seed in Jesus' parable is a symbol of Jesus' gospel. The gospel is not a vaccination. It's a seed. The gospel is not a shot in the arm that saves us from hell. The gospel is a seed. That, yes, saves us from hell, but it is so much more. It is a seed that God intends to grow, produce fruit, much fruit. Make fruitfulness, bearing fruit, a huge part of your prayer life for yourself and for others. And as for endurance and patience with joy, well, with all of the negative news and partisan politicking and hateful hashtags, this is a wonderful time for us to be praying to be strengthened for endurance and patience with joy. This is a great time for us to be salt and light, like Lynn just prayed for us earlier, in the world. How are you going? The rules about social distancing. It's going to be pretty easy to walk out of here and grumble, isn't it? We weren't allowed to mingle. How are you going with border closures? Increased unemployment and a projection to get worse. 2020, it's turning out to be a really long decade, yeah? But you and I know. We know. 2020 has not taken God by surprise. God is on his throne, and whatever is over our heads is under his feet. Therefore, the local church should give off a vibe of endurance and patience with joy. Make one of your prayers to be strengthened in endurance and patience with joy. And as for giving thanks, it just follows on, doesn't it? Again, I just don't need to remind us about what an opportunity we have to stand out as salt and light in the world at the moment by being thankful. There's so much whinging, so much anger, so much trolling, fear and anxiety going around. Therefore, be thankful. Brother, sister, whether your week holds triumph or tragedy, be thankful. We just spent a whole term reminding ourselves, our God reigns in the storm. In the deep, dark, seemingly God-abandoned storms of life, God is at work, both personally and globally. Look at verse 12. Every day, whether it's triumph or tragedy, we can be thankful because God has qualified us for an inheritance with the saints. I spent last week with my son in Tamworth at a cricket carnival, and it was a selection carnival. Let me tell you, he is going to be so excited if he is selected for the next level of cricket. brother, sister. You have been selected for an inheritance with all of God's people. And so whether your life is full of triumph or tragedy, you can be thankful. Now, before any of us fall into the pride of thinking, well, of course God selected me, or the despair of thinking God would never select me, but we need to look at this important biblical word, redemption. Have a look at verse 13. So we've just finished hearing about being qualified for our inheritance. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I had a birthday this week, finally turned 40. And I got a redemption card. So my friends, they paid money. I get to redeem that gift card and get the gift. That's how redemption works. At the cross, our sin was put on Jesus. Jesus paid the price for our sin. And the price for our sin is hell. Jesus went to hell when he died on the cross. Jesus paid the price. And then God raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus now offers a redemption card for anyone who turns to him in repentance and faith. And remember, repentance is turning to God. And faith is handing our life over to King Jesus, submitting our lives to him. And so whoever turns to Jesus in repentance and faith gets a redemption card. And the redemption, the price, the gift that we receive is the forgiveness of our sins. And so there's no room for pride. Jesus did it all. And there's no room for despair. Jesus did it all. The price is paid. It's complete. It's done. Therefore, we can say with 100% confidence in Jesus, we are qualified for an inheritance with all of the saints. We have been dragged out of the kingdom of darkness and we've been transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Our sins are forgiven. I sort of thought it would be better to preach to you, not just a camera. I thought I would have got a bit more feedback at that point. Just a little acknowledgement for the future sitting in here. You're allowed to say amen and yes. And I reckon we're allowed to still raise our hands when the band's leading us in songs. Yes, Jordan? Yes. To wrap up, I want you to think about your spiritual life as a garden. Is it bearing fruit and growing, or is it looking barren? Now, if it's looking barren, thank God you're hearing this sermon. God's reminding you that fruitfulness is the result of persistent sowing. Get back into the habit of daily reading the scriptures, of daily praying. Pray prayers like this one in Colossians chapter 1. What a wonderful prayer to be praying for yourself and for other Christians. Daily be repenting of your sin. Make weekly church, whether it's online or in here, make point group, weekly point group, a part of your habit. Becoming a Christian is not the finish line. It's the starting line. And fruitfulness is the result of persistent sowing. And if your spiritual life is looking barren and you don't care, that's a problem. Maybe you're like that young man I told you about earlier, and you think, well, God saved me, so the rest just doesn't matter. You get the gospel of grace, but you don't care much for the way of the gospel. That's not good. My guess is you're not yet a Christian. And so it's good that you're hearing this sermon as well. Why don't you turn to Jesus in repentance and faith? Turn to Jesus not just as a cheap saviour, but as saviour and Lord over your life. And start to live a life that is pleasing to him. And if your spiritual life is fruitful, praise God. Praise God. Thank God for the fruit that he is giving you and ask him to help keeping you so. Remember, becoming a Christian is the starting line. Fruitfulness is the result of persistent sowing. And for all of us, when we see a Christian's fruitfulness, let's thank God. Thank God for the faith, love, and hope we see in other Christians. Thank God for when we see other Christians, their endurance and their patience with joy. Thank God when we see other Christians' thankfulness. Let's be thanking God. And then when we finish thanking God for all this fruit and this growing that we're seeing in others and in ourselves, ask God to keep bearing that fruit. Fruitfulness is the result of persistent sowing. Let's pray, and then do we have time for Q&A? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you that you've brought us to Colossians. We thank you for those, that the way that you brought the gospel to Colossae 2,000 years ago and the way that you grew their faith and love and hope. And we pray that as your word of truth, as your gospel continues to take root in our lives, you will continue to bear fruit and give us increase as well in our lives and in those that you save as well through our gospel ministry. Father, we pray this for your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.